Again, I'm very thankful to be in the house of the Lord, very thankful for the humble prayer that it was offered up on behalf of the Lord's people. Would certainly ask that you would continue to pray for the furtherance of this service and the preaching hour this morning, that God would richly bless each and every one of us, and that we might truly depart this place today saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord, having learned something that we might apply to our lives that would be beneficial. The thoughts that are on my mind this morning pertain to giving, and I know that oftentimes is not the most cherished subject on the hearts and minds of the Lord's people. But you know, there oughtn't to be a greater honor and privilege in this life than to be able to give back to God and unto the Lord's people. Nothing greater. For God so loved you and I that He gave His only begotten Son. When you give, and I'm talking about your substance, your financials, into the church, you think about what God gave you. For God so loved you that He gave the best. Are we giving the best? I believe Scripture tells us how to give and the importance of giving. We're told in John chapter 10 and verse 28, in hope of eternal life, He has given us eternal life. He has given us eternal life. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Think about it for a moment. What greater gift could you have been given in this in the entirety of your life than to know that you're going to live forever? And that one day you won't be tarnished by all this sin that goes about you each and every day of your life. You won't be mad at your brothers and sisters. You won't be upset at people because they didn't do things the way that you wanted them to. You'll live in peace and harmony in a way that you've never known. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Jesus Christ has given us eternal life. Our Father, which art in heaven, has given us His best. And that should be behind every thought we have when it goes to giving. I think about my life, and I think that my life is not much different than anyone else's life. As we go through life, oftentimes when it comes to giving of our substance to the church, our money to the church, we fall in two conditions a lot of times. When I was young, life was hard. I farmed about 10 years, and I was broke. I told folks I couldn't pay attention, and that's about the truth. I wondered from year to year if it would be possible for me to continue in the profession that I so dearly loved. And, you know, by God's sovereign grace and mercy, I did continue on. But I think about what I thought about giving to the church. Now, I believe that as we go through this message this morning, you're going to find that giving comes from the heart, and there is not a child of God who is exempt from their financial obligations to the church. Now, I'm going to tell you, I believe we have a very generous church, and I commend you for that. We have very generous givers. But Peter said, I will not. He said, I'll not be negligent and bring these things to memory. Helping us to remember them. He says, you know the truth. You're established in the truth. But we continue to preach these truths. First of all, us old folks need reminded. And the older we get, the more we need reminded. Our young people need taught. They need taught the lesson of giving. You know, I thought about this for a little bit. I've been in Georgia a number of times. I've been up at Bel Air, Maryland, Brother Stephen Bloyd's church, and you go over in the east, and in the Primitive Baptist churches there, they pass the plate or the basket. I grew up in the old Baptist church, and I thought literally that was a sin. That just goes to show you how far man's tradition has taken us. I believe that if you pass the basket or the plate, that you would encourage someone to give of their money that didn't have the money to give because they didn't want to be embarrassed. And you come up with a number of other reasons why that's intolerable in our sight, but you won't find it scripturally. That's the traditions we've come up with. because they continue to pass the plate over there or pass the basket Sunday after Sunday, and that's okay, even if we don't agree with it. But I remember attending other churches when I was a kid that wasn't Primitive Baptist, and they always passed the plate. And I realized that many mothers and fathers would take money out of their purse or their billfold and give it to their children and have them put it in this plate. Well, you know, I admire them for that to one sense. It is teaching the children to some degree that when they come to the house of the Lord, they ought to give to the church, to God, and to His kingdom. It's not all bad, even though we don't do it. There are Primitive Baptists that do it. So my point being is, if you ever go over into the East, you're going to find out this is a tradition that they've done for many years. It's no different than we are, and I don't condemn it. But the lesson I get out of it is, in these other denominations, maybe they're doing a little better job of teaching their children that they ought to give to the church. Now, when we begin to study this lesson in a few moments, we're going to find that this is a lesson in the heart. It really is. I mean, it's all about the heart. It's not about your bank account. It's not about the digits in front of the dollar sign. It's about coming from the heart. You know, we just sang that song, "The Lord Has Been So Good to Us." You know, I thought about that when we sang it, and I thought, you know, there ought not to be a worship service that we ever enter into that we don't sing that song, honestly. Because there's not a song that brings forth more truth to God's children than that song, "The Lord Has Been So Good to Us." We're told to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations, in Psalms 100. The Lord is good. I don't care what your circumstances are, how little you think you have, or how much you think you have, the Lord is good. The Lord has been so good to me. I hope you honestly, can say that each and every day that you live. The Lord has been so good to me. Now, back to my early years when I didn't have any money, my justification for not giving or not being consistent in giving or being sporadic in giving was the fact that I didn't have the means or the finances to do so. But I don't believe that's what the Bible teaches at all. I don't believe it. It's not about the digits in front of the dollar sign. Like I said, it's something that comes from the heart. But that was my justification. I wasn't consistent in giving. I was very sporadic. You know, if I wanted something out there in life to purchase, I would get that, and I would spend money that I didn't have to buy things that I didn't need, and pretty soon I had bills that I couldn't pay, and there wasn't anything left over for the church. Elder Bloyd and me have had many discussions, and one discussion is that I said, we don't find many people who build their life around the church. Their attempt is to build a church around their life, and pretty soon you don't have any money for the church, nor do you have any time for the church. But when you begin to build your life around the church and you put the Lord Jesus Christ as the priority in your life, things begin to change. I find it amusing, as we'll read these two verses here in a moment, how for some reason we as human beings, when we're young, we don't believe we have enough money to give to the church. And when we get old, that money becomes such a crutch to us that we're not willing to let go of it. What is the problem here? It's a heart problem. Jeremiah said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The heart deceives us time and time again. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding." Unfortunately, you and I, if we can't understand it, sometimes our trust isn't very strong in the Lord, is it? If we can't understand where we're going to be over here 10 miles down the road or 10 years down the road, it's pretty hard for us to put our trust in God, regardless of what God's Word says. Let's notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. "Every man, according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." We know that Apostle Paul here gets right to the point to begin with. This is an issue of the heart, is it not? It's an issue of my heart, your heart, and every child of God's heart. Now, I've heard people say that, and we'll get to a little bit more of that in a moment, many claim and declare that we're to give 10%. 1:10. Some people will say, well, you know, the New Testament came along and we're not under the law anymore. You know, under Moses' law, they were to give 1/10, and now we're not under the law. We don't specifically have to give any certain amount. But if you understand grace the way I understand grace, it goes far above and beyond the law. It's much bigger than the law. Grace doesn't give us a right to give less than 10% in my perspective. If anything, it ought to encourage us to give far more than 10%. It really should. I give unto you eternal life, and you shall never perish. Never forget that, those words. For the child of God, that is everything. That is everything. And Jesus, those are the words of Jesus Christ. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. We're going to live in paradise one day. We won't have to work. We won't have to sweat. We won't have to do anything but enjoy the blessings of Almighty God. He give us His best. But as we continue to look at this, He says in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, in verse 7, it talked about giving of your finances to the church, I believe, or to God as a something that starts in your heart. It's a heart problem. He says here that we're not to do it grudgingly. We're not to regret what we give. In other words, have you ever given money to a church and thought, boy, if I'd have had that $100 back or that $1,000 back, look at what I could have bought, what I could have paid off. I mean, the list goes on and on. What I could do with that, what I could buy for my children. I mean, on and on goes this list. This is a problem of the heart, and it's a subject that is sore to many others. To some people, it's offensive. But this is not my words. This is the words of Almighty God. He says, of necessity, that means by force. Do you feel like that you give your contribution to the church and you're forced to do it because God says this is what you ought to do? Or do you think, I've been given eternal life and I shall never perish? The Lord has been so good to me. I want to praise Him all my days. What kind of thoughts do we have? Do we realize that what verse 8 said here, that God is able to open up His storehouse of abundant grace and make you all sufficient? Do you believe for one moment you're going to give so much that the Lord's going to leave you destitute over here? You're going to starve to death and you're going to dry up and never yet to be? I mean, what is it we have? You know, I'm getting old enough that I went from the point I didn't have any money to I want to let go of it. I hate to admit that, but that's the cycle of men. It becomes a crutch. We don't want to part ways with it. It's like, God, you gave it to me. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to keep it. But it is God that giveth thee power to gain wealth. If you have anything, you only have it because God lent it to you for a period of time while you walked and journeyed on this earth. To think you're somebody special and you're above the next man and you deserve it more than the next man, your thinking's all wrong. You have it because of God's mercy. He was merciful to you and blessed you in spite of your sinfulness, in spite of your wrong, in spite of the fact that sometimes our heart is not right. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. In other words, that has a reference to this cheerful giver. Can you honestly give any donation to the church? I don't care what it is. And it doesn't matter. When this heart issue is dealt with, it's not about the digits in front of the dollar sign, I promise you. And we're going to find that out in a minute. It's about the blessings that God has rained down upon you in your life and how you feel about giving back to God. You see, when you give to the church, you're giving to God. A lot of people don't see it that way, but that's what Scripture tells me, teaches me. And in doing so, God says, I'll bless you in every good work. In other words, you're not going to dry up and fade away. God's not going to leave you destitute. He says, trust in me with all your heart. He said, don't try to trust in me after you've sat down for hours and days and months and weeks and tried to understand how all this is going to play out. Is that trust? Is that faith? Absolutely not. There's no trust in that whatsoever. We need to trust in God. God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. Do you believe that? Do we really believe that? Do we believe that God's storehouse of grace is sufficient? That if we give as God has commanded us to give, that our storehouse won't run dry? That we won't be left out on the street with nothing to eat? No roof over our head? I don't know what it is. Something back in our subconscious, I think, eats on us. That becomes a crutch. We don't know how we're going to pay our medical bills. We don't know how this or that as we get older. When we're young, we're so broke, we can't hardly get started, so we don't have any money then. I know that's how I was. I don't know how you young folks are. But I think putting God first is very important. If you would, turn to me with me to the Mark chapter 12. I want to notice something here that I believe gets right down to the heart of the matter, if you would. In verse 41, it says, and Jesus set over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. You know, we pray every Sunday morning that, Lord, be in our presence. We pray that the Spirit of God dwell amongst us. You know, I don't know what y'all throw into the treasury of this church or any other church, but I'll assure you, God Almighty knows. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows where your priorities are. He knows. I don't. That's not my business to know, but the Lord knows, I can assure you. All things are open and naked and open before the Lord. I mean, he can see everything. But I find it interesting, Jesus is sitting here, and he says, and many that were rich cast in much. You know, most of us don't consider ourselves to be rich, so we would probably be sitting around applauding these folks, wouldn't we? The church is going to be taken care of. The rich folks are putting in what they should. I don't have anything. I'm broke. I don't have any money, so it's not up to me to give. So I'm sure thankful for the rich members of the church that they can supply the needs of the church and the church can continue on. Is that the lesson Jesus is teaching here? He said these rich people are throwing in much, so they're not just throwing in a few dollars here and there. They're throwing in much. Must be a sizable amount, would you say? He goes on and he says, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Now, we know as far as the digits in front of the dollar sign that this poor widow's money didn't amount to a hill of beans, did it? I mean, you know, if we're adding up dollars and cents over here on the right and the left of the rich people and her, they got a mountain and she's down in the valley as far as the digits in front of the dollar sign. But Jesus is teaching us a lesson here, I believe. And I believe in this lesson itself that no one is free or excluded from their financial obligation to the church. That's what I believe. He goes on and says, verily I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. Now, if we're looking at this thing only in the amount given by an individual, in the dollar signs, then we missed the point altogether, hadn't we? You know, her love for the Lord and her desire to help the church, she gave everything that she had. Now, I find something else very interesting here, too. Let's get verse 44 first. For all they did cast in their abundance, talking about these rich folks. In other words, it didn't affect their lifestyle hardly at all, did it? I don't care how much they was putting in, they had plenty left to move right on. But she, of her want, did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now, I don't have the rest of the story of this widow woman. Maybe she went out on the street and a few days later she died from starvation and from need. I do know what happened to the widow woman and her son when Elijah came to them in 1 Kings chapter 17. They only had enough oil in the cruse and enough meal in the barrel to make one meal. And they told Elijah, said, and I'm paraphrasing this, said, we'd love to give you some. We really would. But we're going to eat this last meal and we're going to die. Well, Elijah convinced them that when the Lord was in the matter, that the oil wasn't going to run out and the meal wasn't going to run dry, and it didn't. There continued to be. Matter of fact, she made him a cake to begin with. I'm telling you, when God's in the matter and God's pleased, he opens up the abundance of grace in that treasure house, and you're not going to run out. You're going to be sustained. That's what the Bible tells us. And when we don't follow that pattern, it tells me of several things that have went wrong. But the number one thing is, we're not trusting in the Lord with all our heart. We're trusting in our own understanding of how things are today and how they may be tomorrow or what they might be 10 years down the road. But I find it also interesting here that Jesus didn't reprimand this widow woman for giving everything she had. Do you know that? He didn't come out and say, "Man, you should not have done this. You're going to starve to death. You'll have no clothes tomorrow. You're just not going to make it any further. You gave everything." He used her as an example to teach us a lesson, didn't he? I think one of the greatest lessons is we give from the heart. And we understand that Jesus Christ will sustain us. We can't outgive the Lord. That's what we're told over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. When we purpose in our heart to give, because God has given us eternal life and we shall never perish. When we purpose in our heart and we don't give out of necessity as though it was forced upon us. When we don't give, regretting everything that we give because we could have used that money for some of earth's goods and materials. Then I think God will open up the windows of heaven. He says in Malachi 3 that he will pour out blessings upon you that you can't possibly receive. Do we believe that? That's the big question. This widow woman gave all that she had. I'm not here to tell you you need to sell everything you have and give it to the church. But I tell you what, Jesus Christ used her as an example. And he didn't tell her how wrong she was and how she had done the wrong thing and she hadn't withheld back enough money, even though she had very little, to sustain herself. I would say this widow woman was trusting in the Lord with all her heart. She wasn't leaning to her own understanding. Because she didn't understand it. She understood one thing. She couldn't make it on her own. It'd only be with God's help. That question is, now, can we give too much? Can a child of God give too much? Well, the widow woman here gave all that she had. Let's go over to the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew. We know there was a young man, and you can go to Mark chapter 10, same story. This young rich man for whom Jesus loved. We know this was a child of God. And I tell you what, a lot of people tell you this man was a child of God because the Lord said he loved him. That is an evidence. But I tell you the reason I believe he's a child of God, because he was seeking eternal life. And those who know not the Lord, desire not the Lord, have no desire to seek out the eternal life or eternal blessings of God. That tells me that he was already a child of God. But that's not the point we want here. He come to the Lord and he asked him what he must do that he could have eternal life. And he said, keep all the commandments. I don't very much believe what the story that he told the Lord that he had kept them all from his youth up. But that's not the point here. Verse 21 says, if thou will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Can you give too much to the Lord? Apparently not. I don't think you can. You can't give too much to the Lord. I want to give you another example. When the church began in its early stages in Acts chapter 4, and the Spirit of the Lord had filled the church, and 3,000 had been added to the church, I'm telling you, these brethren were in one accord. They were zealous. They were Spirit-filled. And there was great things wrought in the church. It says in verse 33 of Acts chapter 4, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon all, neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Now, I'm not suggesting you sell your land and lay them at the pastor's feet, the money. I'm not an apostle. I don't believe there are any apostles now. But I tell you, the lesson we want out of here is the spirit of giving. These brethren seen that there was a need in this church. And if it need be, they sell their house, they did it. If it need be, they sell their land. They done whatever was necessary. They were filled with the Spirit of God. Well, what a day it'd be, what a rejoicing day that'd be in this church and all the land, across the land, if we had that mindset and that spirit of giving. You know, in the church, if we're to take care of the widows and the fatherless, and we're to help feed the poor and clothe the poor, as I believe the Bible tells us, you can't do it on pennies. It takes money. You can't run a business on nothing. And I'm not declaring that the church is a business, but it will not function with no funds. It will not be able to obtain what God set forth for it to obtain as a glorious church giving glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, as a city set up on a hill that cannot be hid. I believe that we're to give. And I believe we're to put the Lord first. It says in verse 36, and Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of Consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Again, that spirit of giving is what we're after there. Not that we need to lay the money at the feet of any preacher, but I tell you, those folks at that time were so filled with the Spirit that they were willing to do whatever they needed to do for the good of the Lord's church. May God bless us in the future to have the same spirit of giving in this church and in all His churches. The second question I want to ask, can a child of God give too little? Can a child of God give too little? Well, let's notice what it says over in Romans chapter 12, verse 8. It says, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. What does simplicity mean? It means to be generous and unselfish. That's what it means to be. The truth of the matter is, if you consider yourself before God or His people, you're in error. And you'll either not give what you should, or less than you should, or you'll give it grudgingly with regret. And we ought not to do that, because I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. That ought to be in our minds and in our thoughts every day. He gave us an unthinkable gift, a gift that we cannot obtain, a blessing that is beyond measure, beyond value. We ought to be more than willing to give back to the one who gave us so much. Gave us so much that we could not possibly obtain. I know a lot of times that when a message is preached and it hits folks in the pocketbook, it's a message they don't want to hear, but I believe it's a message in which individuals and churches that are blessed with members that understand this truth are blessed out in life every day that they live. God's not going to leave you dry. He's not going to leave you destitute. I also believe that we need to remember, and our young people need to be taught, the principle of first give to God. I didn't do this, and I spoke of that a few moments ago when I was young. You know, I wanted to have so many things out in life that generally, if there was anything left, I gave it to God. But that's not what the Bible teaches. God gave us His best. We ought to give Him our best. When you create a budget, young folks, you ought to put giving to the Lord first, not last. That's building your life around the church. Because if you build the church around your life, you will give last, and most of the time there won't be anything left to give. Because everything you buy and purchase, desire and want out in this life will take all you have and probably more. But the Bible tells us that God will cause you to abound with His endless grace. Do we believe that? I do. I've seen evidence of it in people's lives. We need to take to heart. This is a hard issue. See, the heart is deceitful. It's deceiving. You know, it tells us, along with Satan's help, oh, we need to accomplish this on our own. We need to hold back. We ought not to do that. We're not going to make it to the end of our days or the end of our way, or we need this and that out there in life. And then when we get everything constructed in life properly, we get all the bills taken care of, then we're going to start giving to the Lord. This poor widow woman, you think she brought that to mind whenever she throwed all she had into the treasury? Do you think Jesus admired her? I don't believe that the Bible is telling us that we have to sell all the possessions that we have and give them to the church. But the Lord admired this woman for doing it, didn't he? And he told that man, if you'd be perfect, you'd give everything you have to the poor. You see, when we begin to think about these things, we begin to sing that song, "The Lord has been so good to me. I want to serve him all the days of my life." Because he has been good to each and every one of us. He has given us everything that we have. You know, I sometimes think that we as people, and I know I have in my days, have lost sight of everything that we have comes from the hand of the Lord. If you had it, God, he'd give you the strength to get it. He'd give you the mind to obtain it. He'd give you the ability and the desire to want it. I mean, it's just unbelievable what God puts in the minds of his children and the ability that he gives us to go out into this life, but credit is due him, not ourselves. Self is a great problem. You know, when we covet what we have, when we think of self more and delay giving to God, then we're giving too little. No, I told you, it isn't about the digits in front of the dollar sign. That's not what it's about. It's not about that the rich man over there, and that when Jesus was talking to him, gave $100,000 and the woman gave $1. It was an issue of the heart. She gave all that she could. She done what she could. They gave a lot. Dollar-wise, they gave a lot more. And I know, as I said, many of us would be clapping because we'd feel like we'd been let off the hook. You know, when we begin to judge ourselves by the folks that we live amongst, worship amongst, when we decide that they've got plenty of money, they drive plenty nice cars, they live in wonderful homes, they ought to be the ones giving the majority of the money to the church, then we've lost sight of what really is true. That poor widow woman had nothing, amounted to nothing. In our eyes, in your eyes, it amounted to nothing, did it? But the Lord said she gave more than they all gave. Because it came from the heart. Giving is always an issue of the heart. That's why Paul said, let every man purpose in his heart to give. To give freely. Not by force. Not regretting what you give to the Lord. Because the Lord said he would open his storehouse of grace. And through abundance, you would be sustained. You will be. Do we believe that? I do. I don't believe the Lord's going to leave us high and dry. I don't believe the widow woman believed that. I don't believe we can outgive the Lord. That's why the Bible says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. When we give, if we have reservations about it, we're not a cheerful giver. If we're worried about letting too much go, we're not a cheerful giver. And if we don't have the finances to give a lot, that's not what it's about. It's about, am I giving what I can under the circumstances, young folks, that I live in? You know, God may bless you. I think about talking to an elder that's a full-time minister in the church. I believe that the church is to take care of the minister, but it's also to feed the poor. He's a full-time minister, and he's getting 30% less than he was. And I asked him if their donations were down, and he said yes. He said a couple of the older brethren, one of them was a doctor, very, very generous giver to the church, had passed away, and I knew the man. But you know, all of us are going to pass away, aren't we? Solomon said there's something that is certain in our life, and it's death. And even though you may have generous contributors at this time, God may bless some of you young folks with mighty things in life. You may think today that you have nothing, but God can bless you to have a lot. Recognize that blessing when you go through life's journey. Because the older folks, those who give more, one of these days they're not going to be in the church. And believe it or not, it takes money to sustain the church and to do what the Lord called upon us to do. It don't just happen for nothing. None of us or exempt from our financial obligation to the church. You know, it's a great thing that you come in and wax the floors, paint the walls, and mow the grass, and all that kind of stuff. That doesn't exempt you from your financial obligation to the church. In no way does it. We're called upon to labor in God's house. Yes, that's part of it. But that doesn't exempt us from it. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. And I know this is probably not the most exciting sermon you've ever heard, but I believe when we follow the example and the principle of giving to God first, that God will bless us in a mighty way. Think about that early church that had the spirit of giving, was willing to sell lands and houses or whatever it was. It was necessary. You reckon they were sitting over thinking, man, I've had it. Ain't never going to be another good day. Things have gone. My land's gone. My house is no longer here. Are we trusting in the Lord with all our hearts, or are we leaning to our own understanding? Because when we try to understand how things play out and we don't trust in God, we'll never give what we should have. We'll never be faithful unto the Lord like we should, because we're trying to understand things that we cannot possibly understand. God is able to sustain you when you don't even think He could. And I close with a verse that I want to continue on, hopefully. When Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, "My God shall supply all your need." Do you believe that God shall supply all your need? We're going to find out, and Lord, if the Lord will bless me, that the giving of your financial money to the church is an act, I believe, is an act of worship. Right on the level of prayer. A lot of people wouldn't see it that way, but I believe the Bible teaches that. And may God bless us to understand that message. I'm very thankful because we have a very giving church. But I want it to always continue to be that way. And I want our young folks who rise up in this church and us old folks who go on to be with the Lord and enjoy that eternal life that God promised us, to continue to see a church that is blessed, to continue to see a church that the Lord's people can come to. It doesn't just happen. We've got to get up and we've got to do our part in every area. And I believe God will bless us in such a way that this church will be here for a long, long time. The key of it is doing what God called upon us to do. And may God bless us to do it, is my prayer this morning.